Brother Jack has brought forward this morning. We believe him as he's preached them, and we could have enjoyed that message as long as he wanted to stay up here. I mean that. And we love him for Christ's sake and love his family, and just appreciate so much what a blessing it is when somebody comes from afar and preaches the same things that you believe. You know, when you've got the same guidebook, and the same guide guiding you, that's possible. I just want to read a few verses to you from Revelation chapter 19 this morning. And Not just because there's not much time, but because in general, I don't believe, require much time. I just want to bring a few thoughts to you here from these verses. And I want to start with verse 7, where the Apostle John pens by the inspiration of God, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, These are true sayings of God."
Amen.
You know, we experienced here yesterday, many of us did, a marriage ceremony. And my mind was stirred already as that day approached, not only because of what was to take place in the marriage ceremony. My 14th wedding anniversary was week before last, July 27th. My wife and I celebrated our 14th anniversary. We'll forever remember it because we hit a deer on the way home from supper that night. So we've got a picture on our cameras with a date on it, and our kids made sure we remember that on the 14th anniversary, we got a we got something to remember that day by. Last Sunday, my mom and daddy celebrated 40 years of marriage. We were delighted on our way back from North Carolina to pull over in Braselton and have dinner with them and with my sister and brother-in-law and her family. We surprised them. They didn't know we were going to do it. We surprised them to the point that when they saw us standing in the parking lot of the restaurant, my mama still said, well, they must have just gotten off the interstate here to use the restroom. And it just completely went by her that we were meeting them there for that. You know, the Bible's got a lot to say about marriage. It's got a lot of instruction about the institution itself. It's got a lot of instruction about the choice of a husband and a wife. It's loaded with it. But that's not where my mind is this morning as far as instruction. I want to look at the spiritual side of it for just a few minutes. The scripture tells us in the third chapter of the book of John that the title of bridegroom is given to Jesus Christ. The scripture says that John the Baptist spoke. Whenever the scribes and the Pharisees came to John, they came to him hoping to try to rile him up and to try to say that you're over here and you're teaching and you're baptizing, but there's one over there who's also doing the same, and all men are going unto him. That's what they came to him to say. Now, we'll read in the next chapter that, of course, Jesus himself did not baptize, but those ones who he appointed to do the work were doing it under the instruction of Jesus. But what they found whenever they found John the Baptist and told him this is that John the Baptist is not like any just an old jealous preacher. He's somebody that has the cause of Christ first. And he knew that if Christ was to increase, that he himself as a man must decrease. And he uses in John chapter 3 verse 29 the title of bridegroom to describe Jesus. It says, he that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom which standeth and heareth him rejoiceth at the sound of the bridegroom's voice. And this my joy therefore is fulfilled. Do you think it's just by chance that Jesus Christ is given the title of bridegroom? Or do you think there's some significance to the marriage ceremony and the work of the Lord Jesus Christ? I'm going to choose the latter. How about you? Jesus Christ is described as being the bridegroom. And whenever we think of the marriage ceremony itself, you know, there's a lot of things changed over time. But there's a lot of Bible to describe that the way that the marriage ceremony was conducted in the time of Jesus would tell us a lot about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, one of the things that took place in Bible days that doesn't take place today, and brethren can take a deep sigh at this. As far as I know, it doesn't take place. I didn't pay one. As far as I know, any of the weddings that have taken place since I've been your pastor here, there hadn't been one paid. But back in Bible days, even going back a long time into the Old Testament, there was a certain thing called a dowry that was paid by the groom to the bride's family. If you go back and you remember the days of Jacob, when he came to Laban's house, did he just say, I want Rachel, I want her right now, give her to me? Or did Laban not require something of his hand before he gave his daughter to him? Jacob didn't have anything to give him, so what did he do? He labored for, ended up being 14 years. The arrangement to start off with was 7. But he ended up laboring for 14 for the hand of Rachel. There was a requirement of a payment to be made to that bride's family. If you remember, whenever David desired to marry Saul's daughter, Saul said that it was not a requirement to give a dowry, but instead 100 foreskins of the Philistines. David brought 200. There was something that was required from the bridegroom unto the bride's family. There was a payment that must be made unto that family before he was able to be able to be engaged and betrothed to that bride. And whenever we consider the bridegroom and we consider the bride and that being the family of the living God, you better make no mistake about it. There was a price that was paid by the bridegroom unto the family of the bride in order for her to be his. And the payment was in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. A payment was made.
The scripture says that if you go and you use those scriptural examples of a wedding back in Bible days, and you consider that indeed the father of the bridegroom sent his son into the bride's family, and he made a payment into the family of the bride, and you say, who was the family of the bride? It was God the Father, and that's who the payment was made to. It was not made to man. You know, a lot of people love to tell you about an offering that was made by Jesus unto man. Book, chapter, and verse, and I'll change my view on that. There's a payment and an offering that was made, but it was made unto God the Father. It was made unto the one who was in charge of that bride's family. And Jesus Christ made it unto the Father. And the scripture says, you know, there's several places that we could go. You know, you remember the Apostle Paul, he said it in 1 Corinthians 6, I believe it's verse 20, don't hold me to the verse, 1 Corinthians 7, verse 23, he tells them, ye were bought with a price. Yeah. He reminds them that something was done in order to purchase them. And whenever we consider the marriage ceremony of the Lamb, we gotta understand first that there were some arrangements made, and that is that Jesus Christ was sent by the Father. And He came just as a dowry was done back in those days, and He made the payment that was required, and they became engaged and betrothed to Him at that particular time. The next step of it was that there was an engagement period. Now we get a little bit more recent in times. We have that today. We have an engagement period. From the time that the promise and the dowry is paid, you have a time period that's known as an engagement. If you'll remember, in the days, Brother Jack's already mentioned that particular verse from Matthew chapter 1. It was during the betrothment period that the angel came to Joseph. You remember, and gave him the comforting words that the child that was in his betrothed wife's womb was from the Holy Ghost. It was during that engagement period that particular verse comes to us. They were not yet united. She was betrothed to him to be his wife. And you say, well, isn't that the same? Well, you know, in reality, when you make that promise, when that covenant is made, when that agreement is made, there are some binding stipulations to it. But the specific ceremony has not come forth yet. But she was here. She was engaged to him. She was going to be his wife, and he was, of course, as any of us would be. He was discouraged at hearing that his wife was with child, because he knew that it couldn't be his. And of course, is given those comforting words. You know, the history would tell us that during the time of a engagement, of the time of a betrothment, that it was a time for the bridegroom to return and to prepare his home, to bring his wife to. Some things had to be done in order to bring that bride home. Now, when my wife and I were married, we moved into a furnished apartment in Chamblee, Georgia. So I did not return during my engagement period to my daddy's farm and prepare a house. I guarantee you, if I'd have told him that's where I wanted to bring her, though, he'd have got out the hammer and the nails with me, and probably still would today if I told him that we were about to move in on the farm to prepare that place for my bride. But you know, the scripture tells us that whenever Jesus Christ is about to depart the presence of his apostles, that he tells them that he's about to go make some preparations. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again, that where I am, that will be awesome. He tells them that he's about to go make some preparations. There's some things, you know, and you say, well, does that mean that before that preparation was made, that there was nobody from the bride of Christ in heaven? No, you don't believe that today. The first child of God that passed went the same as the child of God that passed after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're all there the same way. There's not one way for the old and something new for the transition and something newer for us. You know, we've always believed that. The Lord's church has never believed that there was a different way to heaven depending on what time period you lived in, depending on whether or not you're in the womb of your mother, whether or not you live till you're 85. Every one of us are there by the free grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And because He paid that price for us on the cross at Calvary. And you better well believe if He paid that price and He paid that that dowry, He didn't pay it in vain. Every one that He bought with that dowry will be His. They'll be His. But you have the last part of that marriage ceremony of the Lamb is the marriage itself. You have the dowry, you have an engagement, then you have the marriage ceremony itself. You know, there's a lot of brethren may get me for saying this, but I'm going to tell you. Weddings are not just something for women to enjoy. You hear me? You know, so often we just say, well, we just want to make sure the women folk are there. They get a lot more out of them weddings than I do. Well, there's probably certain parts of it they do. I've got some of those flowers that were up here around the pulpit yesterday in my house. And if those flowers wouldn't have been here, I'd have never known that they were. Except for I was a little bit worried about somebody knocking them over. That was the only thing that kept going through my mind. I'd have never known they were here, weren't I? I never noticed the flowers. I never noticed a lot of the things, but you better well believe that there's a lot about that service that is spiritual and that is about the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And one of the things that we see whenever we look at Jesus as being the bridegroom and looking that he paid a price and paid a dowry for His bride, and that we look at that period of time whenever He prepared that place for them, is that there comes forth a time when that service will be brought to its fulfillment at the marriage ceremony of the Lamb, where the bridegroom comes out of the clouds and He's going to take that bride by His hand and He's going to take them back to the place that He has prepared for them. You know, whenever you say, well, Brother Will, don't you think that we're somewhat enjoying a marriage service today? You better believe we are. You know, when that money was paid by the bridegroom to the bride's family, she didn't have to wait to spend that money until that marriage service. That money belonged to her and her family. And I want to tell you, there's some earnest of our inheritance that we have here in this world that we can enjoy one with another here. And we need to enjoy that marriage service of the Lamb. Looking forward to that day that service, as the Apostle John wrote about there, the marriage ceremony of the Lamb. The time when the bride is made spotless in the eyes of her bridegroom. And that she's granted unto him to have those clothes of righteousness, as the Scripture tells us. You know, there's a couple of things that happen at a marriage ceremony that are still true whenever we look at it from a spiritual standpoint. You know, a promise is fulfilled at a marriage ceremony. Before, during the engagement part, it's a promise. I promise to marry you. I promise to marry you is what a bride and a bridegroom say to one another. But whenever that service is conducted, it's not just a promise anymore, it's a culmination. Now, of course, they make promises to one another, but it's in actuality then. The bridegroom or the bride may have promised before to be the bride of the bridegroom and vice versa, but whenever they're married, they're no more twain, but they're one. The culmination of the promise is there. And right now, you and I are living by faith of a promise that our bridegroom gave us. Whenever the Scripture tells us in the same verses that I just read that if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again. That where I am, ye may be also. We're living by that promise today, but at the culmination of the marriage ceremony, it won't just be a promise anymore. It'll be manifested and fulfilled. Everything will be complete. It won't just be something that you and I are living by faith and hope of seeing. We'll actually see it. Do we understand this morning that we're going to see Jesus coming out of those clouds one day? You know, there's a lot of people in this world that'll scoff, as the psalmist David said, where is thy God, thy scoffers? Say, I believe with every ounce of my being that there'll come a time when that mouth will be closed because they'll see too. That promise is no more just going to be something that we're living by. We're actually going to be living the fulfillment of what Jesus promised us whenever He said He's coming again. You ever thought about the name of what happens to a bride's name at the wedding? It's her name becomes that bridegroom's name. And by the way, that's biblical. You know, these hyphenated ideas that we live in this world today. Whenever I see a hyphenated last name and I know I'm going into a meeting with it, I already know this is going to be a tough one. Because she's already got something against me even before she's ever met me. they're angry at the fact that they had to give up their name, so they're going to hyphenate it to try to ease that goes on. The scripture tells us that the first man and woman were named, they were named Adam, named after Adam. In other words, the Lord has put the man as the head. And you know, all of us are wearing some man's name. If it's not your husband's, it's your daddy's, is it not? You know, it is what it is. But you know, whenever you think about the name of Jesus, the scripture tells us in Philippians chapter 2 that he hath highly exalted him and hath given him a name which is above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of things in heaven, of things in earth, and things under the earth. And in other words, this name, Jesus has given us his name. And it'll be culminated in fulfillment whenever we're literally walking hand in hand with our bridegroom as his bride. You know, I told Brother Rick on the way up here yesterday. I said, you know, tell me later on, if one of the neatest things after I got married was that my wife now went by my name. I just remember thinking that was just something, you know, that's one of those things that you really didn't think about beforehand. But after, you know, I remember the first time I saw her name. She signed that name and she signed it with my last name. And I remember just how special that thought was that you know, and I'm gonna put it this way. And I'm gonna also look at it from another angle, is that she's mine. She's mine. And I'm hers and she's mine. That name that I've signed for all these years is now the name behind her name. And I tell you, child of grace today, if you have a hope and a love for Jesus Christ in your heart, it's because you've been given the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, a name which is above every name. How precious and sweet that is. I tell you another thing that'll pull on old daddy's heart is that at the marriage ceremony, the bridegroom takes his bride home. You know, I told Brother Chase yesterday when we were loading up here, I said, this is going to be us one day. And you know, I wouldn't fight it for the world. Wouldn't want her to not enjoy the blessings of what the Lord has blessed me to enjoy in marriage for the world. But it don't mean I'm ready for it to happen tomorrow. I can just tell you now. I like the idea that she's in that room next to me, and if I want to go in there and kiss her and hug her, I can absolutely do it. I like the thought of it, and I don't apologize for it. I can tell you that. There's going to be a time, though, if the Lord will bless her to live that long, bless me to live long enough to see it, bless her to be able to have it, that she'll leave with her bridegroom one day. And I tell you, there's going to be, even though our hearts will rejoice, I'll be sad about it. Well, I want to tell you, you know, I remember when we drove off in ours. We drove off from ours. There was a lot of sad folks behind, but I'm going to tell you, I didn't think about them. You know, how cold-hearted that was. It didn't cross my mind. You want to know why? Because what I'd come for that day was right next to me. And whenever we consider that whenever Jesus Christ comes back out of those clouds, whenever the scripture says that the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout and the voice of an archangel and the trump of God, and that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. The bridegroom is going to take his bride home to the place that he has prepared for them. And you and I aren't going to miss this old world. We're not going to miss it anymore, and I miss what I left behind whenever I left with my wife. We're not going to miss this old world. This old world is not our home. I tell you, we're just passers through. But whenever the Lord takes us home to be with him, it'll be our permanent home, our permanent abode for eternity. And whenever we see this marriage ceremony of the Lamb, whenever we see the characteristics of it, we can see some in our natural services here in this world. And I pray that in seeing these things, that we're brought to a point of seeing a bridegroom's love for his bride. You know, Jesus, the Apostle Paul tells us in Ephesians chapter 5, for husbands to love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. I believe that church in that context is the family of God. He didn't just die for the local assembly. We don't believe that. There's a whole lot more than just the local assembly that'll be in heaven. There'll be a whole lot more in heaven than just those that are gathered at church houses today. There'll be a multitude which no man can number, out of every kindred,
out of every tongue, out of every people, and out of every nation is what the Scripture tells us in Revelation 5 and 9 and Revelation 7 and 9. And I tell you, even those that aren't blessed to be able to have what we've enjoyed this morning and this understanding of justification and these other things that we've heard, I tell you, they'll be every bit as happy whenever they're taken home to be with their bridegroom in heaven and be forever with the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise and honor and glory be to Him. I thank you for your kind, sweet attention this morning.
Amen. Amen. And the sorrows one of them.
Shining and